Welcome to the January 20th, 2026 Annals of Internal Medicine podcast. I'm Dr. Christine Lane, Annals Editor-in-Chief, with a quick look at what's new on annals.org. The interpretation of prostate-specific antigen levels is challenging. Improved ways to predict long-term outcomes in persons with prostate cancer are sorely needed. The first article I'll mention reports a new prediction tool that estimates the risk of dying from prostate cancer, offering a more accurate way to interpret prostate-specific antigen test results compared to existing models. The tool, tested on over 200,000 men, outperformed current methods and could help doctors tailor screening and treatment decisions based on individual risk and life expectancy. Researchers from the University of Michigan used data from over 33,000 men aged 55 to 74 years in a major U.S. cancer screening trial to build a novel prognostic model and validated their findings in a separate group of nearly 175,000 patients similarly aged been receiving care in the Veterans Affairs system. They built a model that predicts the likelihood of dying from prostate cancer by combining PSA levels with factors like family history, race, age, and other health conditions. Compared to existing models, the new tool showed higher accuracy in predicting prostate cancer death over decades, suggesting it could guide more personalized decisions about monitoring and treatment. The authors believe this tool holds promise towards reducing overtreatment and improving personalized care in this space, and has a potential real-world application to the nearly 10 million patients who undergo prostate cancer screening each year. Next is a systematic review that sought to determine the frequency with which clinicians perceive patients as difficult and what factors contribute to these challenging clinical interactions. The authors reviewed 45 eligible studies of adult patients seen in non-psychiatric settings that included information on the prevalence, characteristics, or outcomes of patients perceived as difficult and characteristics of the clinicians who considered the patients difficult. The analysis showed that about 17% of patients, or 1 in 6, are perceived as difficult. Patients with depression, anxiety, chronic pain, substance use disorders, or personality disorders were significantly more likely to fall into this category. Clinician characteristics that increased the prevalence of difficult clinic visits included experience, burnout, and job satisfaction. Patients perceived as difficult were more likely to leave visits with unmet expectations and lower satisfaction. An accompanying editorial discusses how the review has provided an important map of where and with whom difficulty tends to arise. The editorial says that the next step is to use that map not to avoid these patients, but to be better prepared to care for them. Social determinants of health are associated with metabolic health. Whether social vulnerability influences the effectiveness of metabolic bariatric surgery or medical and lifestyle interventions on glycemic control and weight outcomes in individuals with type 2 diabetes has been an open question. To address this question, researchers from the Joslin Diabetes Center and Harvard Medical School analyzed data from 250 adults with type 2 diabetes who enrolled in randomized trials comparing bariatric surgery with medical therapy to determine if social vulnerability influenced the effectiveness of the interventions. They linked participant zip codes to the area deprivation index to determine social vulnerability and analyzed changes in weight and hemoglobin A1C level over 7 to 12 years. Bariatric surgery showed greater long-term effectiveness than medical and lifestyle interventions for both glycemic and weight loss outcomes across all levels of social vulnerability. The study did not find statistically significant differences in the comparative advantage of surgery over medical therapy by area deprivation index. The frequency of persistent sequela of Mpox infections has not been well described. The next new article characterizes post-Mpox sequelae 11 to 18 months after acute diagnosis and compares outbreak-associated psychosocial and behavioral impact between at-risk persons who had or did not have Mpox during the 2022 outbreak. The study cohort included over 300 adults. The researchers found that more than half of those diagnosed with Mpox during the 2022 outbreak still had lingering physical effects 11 to 18 months later. Most reported appearance-related changes, and some continued to experience anorectal or urinary problems. Among post-Mpox participants with appearance-related sequelae, The extent of sequelae was relatively low, with most having fewer than 10 scars or sites of discoloration and two or fewer body sites involved. 13% of post-MPOX participants experienced ongoing physical function changes, and 2% reported sequelae that affected their activities of daily living. Clinical interventions to prevent adult firearm injuries often include counseling at-risk patients to reduce access to firearms. These efforts could be hampered if patients fear that disclosing health-related information, such as the presence of depression, could jeopardize lawful firearm possession. A new article reports a nationally representative survey fielded in December 2024 that estimates the prevalence and distribution of such beliefs among firearm owners. Respondents were drawn from the Ipsos Knowledge Panel, a probability-based web panel of approximately 60,000 non-institutionalized adults. The panel is selected on an ongoing basis using equal probability of selection to provide nationally representative samples. Invitations were sent to 21,907 panelists, of whom about 60% responded. Respondents were presented with a scenario in which a patient plans to visit their doctor and is then asked which of the following, if any, would require the doctor or other member of the medical staff to take actions that would make it illegal for the patient to own, possess, or purchase a firearm. Scenarios included suffering from depression, disclosing thoughts of harming themselves but without a plan to act on those thoughts, early dementia but still able to drive and manage finances, and alcohol use disorder. While none of these health conditions in and of themselves require medical personnel to take actions that would limit the patient's firearm access, 60% of the respondents who were firearm owners believe that disclosing them would. Given that clinical efforts to prevent firearm injuries rely on patients' willingness to disclose risk factors, research to understand why these misperceptions exist and measures to counteract them are warranted. Also new on annals.org is a guidance document on the development of good practice statements and clinical guidelines, a commentary on appropriate benzodiazepine prescribing, and an In the Clinic review on iron deficiency anemia. And the I Am Matters news section features an engaging interview with Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, formerly of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Daskalakis shares his concerns about the future of this important public health agency. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks for listening. Go to annals.org for the new material I've highlighted here and more. Thanks to Beth Jenkinson, Andrew Langman, and Bernie Turner for their technical support.